Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, that was Gerard Mayo this morning. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcand, Andy Hart. We're live at Gillette. If you're watching on Twitch, you'll notice the set's a little different today. As normally we're sitting at a desk, today we're sitting in some nice lounge chairs. This courtesy of Maddie the Marine, who didn't want to break the set back down for us and switch it back over, which I understand. It's a lot of work.
I actually like it.
It's all right. Looking down at the screen, there's pluses and minuses to it.
Bring some phone books and prop it up.
That's a good idea. Like you do when we're in the other.
Oh, waka waka!
Some good messages here.
Glad I wore pants.
Number one, why is everyone surprised that you're wearing pants and also no visor today?
I try to dress it up a little bit for these situations.
For in here, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, like what if we get into a fight with Drake May and it goes viral or something? We want to like look
like
good.
A fist fight.
Anything. If anything notable happens with
who
Drake
would win
May?
In a fight? Us, the two of us combined, or Drake May?
Oh, I think the two of us.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'd have to go high. You'd go low, obviously. if we were to do that, that's how it would go. I'm formulating a strategy. That's all. People in the Twitch chat say this looks like a casting couch situation.
Not wrong.
Also, people saying this is great for Andy because his feet touch the ground. So that's
son
nice.
Son of a bitch.
What else do we have here? Oh yeah, right. The 2-point conversion that was not. I was yelling at the television. Go for two here. And I know that there's people who are going to say, Arcand, you're being so inconsistent. You didn't want to go for two the last time. Why do you want to go for two now? And I think it's completely consistent. Momentum. The momentum of the game, the spot in the game, the point where you did it and why you did it, I think, was important there. And you just had a back-breaking touchdown. That touchdown was crippling to the Tennessee Titans. They saw that, and it was that's a moment right there where you take advantage of them and the fact that they just gave up that touchdown because 12 seconds scrambling around and Drake May dancing through all those sacks and the defenders and everything and finally getting that ball off as he's getting tackled with no time left on the clock. Stevenson hauls it in. That's the type of momentum I'm talking about, and that's a real thing. I believe it. I know there's no mathematical formula that quantifies it, but that to me is momentum, and that's when you go for two. I wanted them to go for two there. If you lose, you lose. I didn't really want to see the defense go back out again and get run over in overtime, although I wasn't expecting that to happen. I thought the defense had kind of picked themselves up over the course of the game after that awful first drive where they just got carved up, which we both commented on.
Yep.
On Twitter, I remember. That was jarring to see that. But that right there, to me, is exactly when you go for two. It's the momentum of the game. It's the spot in the game. You don't just automatically do it at certain points. You do it when the situation calls for it. And I thought right there, that was the type of momentum you go into the play and go for two with. That's what I thought.
So I don't think I would have gone for – I wouldn't have gone for two. I said it at the time. I would not have gone for two. I understand the arguments and definitely could sway me. The question I would have is, what's your play? Because I do think that's a legitimate – you always hear Bill Belichick and other – oh, we really liked our 2-point play. Mm-hmm. We knew we had to have two really good 2-point plays. I don't know what you're going to call there. And I'm not being snarky. You can't run the ball. You haven't run the ball all day.
Nope.
1.6 yards per carry. That's not enough to score the 2-point conversion. You're going to be stuffed. Your offensive line stinks. You just proved that you can't run, you know, traditional low red zone plays.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't scheme anything up. The play sounds even longer when you listen to it without seeing it.
I know.
It seems even more extended. You made a great play. Drake May's tired. He's working his ass off. I don't know if you feel great about saying, oh, he'll just, you know, run a QB sweep to the pylon or something, which they're already hesitant to call straight run plays with him. They've told us that. So I don't. Part of my hesitance is I think, if anything, you might have ticked off the defensive front, so they're just going to blow up the offensive line, and now Drake May scrambling for his life again, and can he go 12 seconds and then another 10 and make something crazy happen? I just felt like the defense, in my opinion, had gotten slightly better as the game wore on, and Drake May, in my opinion, might be able to do more special things with a full drive in overtime than just this play where he's gassed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Where I'm different with Gerard Mayo, don't compare the two situations. They're completely different to the last two-point situation where it was to make it a one-score or two-score
right.
game.
Yeah.
Like, no, this is
well,
game
I wanted
on the
to
line.
Kick then, and this time I wanted
no,
to go for two,
I know.
So I was explaining my reasoning. That's
but,
all,
like,
yeah.
they're just very different.
They're
not
different instances,
in the
yeah.
same chapter of the playbook or
right.
whatever you're calling it.
One was at the end of the game. There was 9 minutes left in the
yeah,
other one.
Just,
yeah,
just
right.
very, very different. I do have concerns and worries about how did this come about? Were you now? He said,
"Who called it?
Who called
the code red?
Were
yep.
you really prepared? Do you have good 2-point plays ready? Was something not ready? You know, we had the last
Andy.
One.
They don't have any good plays ready.
That's,
they don't have anything.
That's sort of my point.
Come on,
gotta have it.
Right.
I don't think they have gotta have it plays. I don't think they have things. Remember the classic Patriot one was always the direct snap to Kevin Falk and
yep.
Brady pretend it's a bad snap.
Yep.
Like they felt good about that play. I'm still stunned that play worked as many times as it did. You would have thought you run that once and people would get the hang of it,
mm-hmm.
but it kept working. Do they have any of those? To me, their two plays are Drake May, get us in the end zone, or Ramondre Stevenson, get us in the end zone. He breaks tackles. He makes plays.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel good about either of those. I don't feel good about any of the pass catchers. Hell, Hunter Henry went out the back of the end zone on the previous play, so he nullified his own availability. So I just actually, in a weird way, felt better about going to overtime. And that's without my cynical, snarky, do they even want to win the game? Do they want it to be a flip to win a game and hurt their draft pick status?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you can talk yourself into it's a good experience for Drake May to go to overtime, right? He'll gain more knowledge, plays.
Yep.
And you can also, if you actually are trying to win the game, a lot of people believe in extending games,
yes.
right? And allowing him the traditional opportunities to drive and make plays with his legs or his arm, whatever. So I would have kicked it just like they did for all of those reasons. But I also understand the idea of, let's just go one play and get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Sort of what I was thinking. I mean, they did not, over the course of the game, I mean, they trailed for a lot of it. So it was a comeback. It was just a moment where it seemed like, okay, this is significant. Like, what just happened right there is time
yeah.
has expired, and he's scrambling around, and Tennessee can't bring him down, and they can't get a guy over to cover Stevenson. It just seemed like, okay, you broke them. Now go finish him off. That's what it felt like to me.
And I don't
giving them
it.
A chance to go out there and drive down the field. And Rudolph, listen, Rudolph had a good game. You know, he's not a good quarterback, but he had a good game. He had a high completion percentage. He had took better care of the ball than May did. I thought he was kind of impressive, honestly, like considering that I always thought he was just some bum.
He is kind of just
backup.
A bum.
But he had a good game yesterday, a good game
fine.
Against you. And that to me was seeing them start to connect and pick up first downs. I thought, oh, man, I thought they were going to score a touchdown, first of all, and just end the game like that. But when they kicked the field goal and May got the ball again, you and I, everybody, we all sort of thought, hey, you know what? He just did it.
Gonna be a hell of a story.
Do it again. Here it is. He's got 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever it was.
Yep.
He's got time to get down the field. They got timeouts. They had one timeout. I think they can do this. And you know, just from there on, we all remember how it went down. But you could have bypassed all of that. I think you could have just gone for it. And I think even if you had come up short, that would have been tolerable. I think people would have looked at it and said, you know what? That was an okay time to do it because you really broke their back at the end.
And I do think for a team that's struggling for its identity and its emotion, this could have been – I wish the touchdown had been the game ender. I think that would have been
yeah,
huge. If they could have just piled up on Drake May and celebrated and chaos ensues.
Yeah.
That would have been a great moment for this team and this organization. You could have given yourself the opportunity to have that moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, next play. I just don't know that they were physically, mentally – preparation-wise, really ready. And you don't want to embarrass yourself. That's the one thing I would say.
No, you don't.
If you go out there and the play is a disaster, that's a really bad look. But I would have understood it because I would have spun it the same way I spun the whole damn thing. Okay, you go for the win because that's going to catapult you emotionally.
Yep.
And if you don't get the win, well, that catapults us up the draft pick board.
Yes, which
right?
is where they ended up anyway. But
right.
Yeah.
So it all worked out. It was a great day.
It did. 617-779-7937. Your phone number. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a moment. When we come back, we have a couple of things to get to. In particular, and this is one of those things that I don't know. The coaching, I think, is a tough thing to quantify. We have thoughts on not just Gerard Mayo, but certainly Alex Van Pelt and DeMarcus Covington. How is the coaching and the play calling this week? We'll discuss it with you and your phone calls next.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.